Well, hello, Audio Boom fans. It's all one word here, and you join me in the mobile studio. Hey! Yes, that's right. You join me as I take a trip out in Dolly on this Thursday night. It's now 9:10. Sarah and I have prepared Dolly 90%. To get away tomorrow night. We're hoping to get away to South Wales. So one of the main concerns I had was water. Water in the water tank is a 120 litre water tank, and I've tried to fill it just now. But the grassed area in front of my house is on a slight slant, and so Dolly was leaning at about 25 degrees as I drove in sideways parallel with the house, and that's obviously not good for the coach section, the habitation area, because it might split its seams. So notwithstanding that, she was leaning into the water tank side, so when I thought the water tank was full, I knew that it wouldn't be, but you know, no more water would go in because she was leaning into the water port section. The water port, so it just kept coming out. So it was just a smidgen under 2/3 full. I say 2/3 because there is a gauge in the kitchen. Push button and it tells you 1/3, 2/3 or 3/3 or full rather of water, and it also tells you what your electric's doing as well, and also the waste water tank light will come on. Okay, so they've shut the A303 because they're fixing the roads. I'd like to think that they are. But we're on our way to Tesco to go, big wagon. They shut the A303, so there's a stack of traffic coming through our village. Oh my God, the road quality is terrible. Also going to Tesco, to stock up on milk for the weekend, bread. Now, here we go, you see. What we're going to try and do is wild camp. In fact, we're probably going to have to do that by the time we get to where we want to be. And what wild camping in a motorhome is being completely self-sufficient. So you're running off your leisure battery, you're using your own stock of water, as opposed to being in a motorhome or caravan site where you're connected to the mains, electricity, and also have got easy access to fill up your water tanks. So it's going to be fun. We haven't worked out, we kind of know where the area that we want to go in. We just got to kind of select where we stop. Now, it is forbidden in a lot of places to park your motorhome and live in it, so to speak, overnight. Albeit that, you know, the local authorities turn a blind eye 9 times out of 10. We'll just have to suck it and see, basically. Oh, it's sometimes quite hard work when you're driving a vehicle this big. I think out of everybody who I know on Audio Boom, only Sassy Cat would appreciate driving big vehicles. I think Sassy Cat drives big wagons. Well, not wagons, but big vehicles. Notwithstanding, the cab of this vehicle is a van, oh, the steering's light as I go up this hill. It's light because there's a lot of weight in the back. The cab is a van, but the rest of the wagon is coach built motorhome. So it doesn't, when you're driving it, it doesn't act the same way as a van. It's a lot more wallowy. Driving it is a lot more sedate than driving a van, and you have to be, well, I have to be careful because not only does the back end produce a lot of swing, which means that the very rear corners of the vehicle don't follow the wheels in the same tracks, so to speak, but also I've got a storage box, 320 litre I think it is, Fiamma storage box on the back, and so that produces a lot more swing. So I have to be very, very careful about if I'm driving down like a narrow street and there are cars that I'm overtaking or that are parked. So I have to be very careful that where the back end is. So it's a lot of checking mirrors when you're driving a wagon this big. Notwithstanding, it's fun because you're a lot slower, don't get me wrong. You can't go faster than these things because you need a lot more reaction time because of the size and because of the weight. And when I say size, I'm talking about height, because the highest part on this vehicle is the over cab bed, which is 3 meters. The top of it on the roof is 3 meters from the ground, so quite high. I mean, the widest part of the vehicle are the mirrors, of course. And they're standard van mirrors, so it's no wider. It's not wider than a van, a Fiat Ducato van. So, but nevertheless, you have to be careful. Now, the other thing, of course, is weight. Sarah and I are both insured to drive this vehicle, but I'm not actually sure whether she's permitted to drive a vehicle of this weight, and I don't know how heavy she is. What we've actually got to do is take Dolly to a public weigh bridge and have her weighed in her entirety and on her axle, each axle weight, front and rear axles. So I'll just pull in here and end up taking up 6 spaces. There's hardly anybody here tonight. Engine off, stereo bleeps. So I can drive vehicles up to 7.5 ton, but when they revamped the driving licensing laws in this country I think it was actually 1st of February 97, if I remember rightly. I got my license in May 96, so I'm quite lucky. But anybody after that date can only drive a vehicle up to 3.5 tons. So, and that's fully laden. So if we've got a motorhome here that is 3,800 kilograms, that's 300 kilograms over the 3.5 metric ton weight limit, which is that's a bit against the law, really, for people to do that. Now, in the UK, and I don't know whether many people listening to this in the UK would know this, but in the UK, there are motorway weigh bridges. So sometimes, you know, you might see a copper on the top of on a bridge going over the motorway, just sitting there. And what he's actually doing is he's connected up to a weighbridge system that's built into the motorway. Now, to be honest, it's primarily for articulated vehicles. But they've started pinging motorhomes. I'm reading kind of blog posts and forum posts from motorhome owners and on motorhome websites and Facebook pages of drivers being pulled over by the police just to check their license to make sure that they can drive a vehicle that's over 3.5 metric tons. And they do in France as well. So, yeah, you got to know your license. Fortunately, I'm okay. I can definitely drive this wagon. Sarah's scared to death of driving this thing. With that box on the back that I put on the back, it kind of obscures the number plate at a certain angle. So what I've done is I bought another number plate, or had one made, sorry, at Halfords. Duly producing my driver's license and the V5 for the vehicle. And they made me another number plate for a grand sum of £16. And I was in two minds where to put it, to be honest. But I thought about putting it on underneath the high central brake lamp, which is about, I don't know, how high in the air is that? Probably about 8. That's probably about 7 or 8 foot up. But I didn't. I put it on the back of the box. Now this may attract a bit of an issue. I'm quite legal in having that box on the back because there are also laws in this country, road traffic laws, about how far away, like a I don't know, maybe a bike carrier, perhaps. Or some kind of extension, let's just say. Some extension extending from the rear of the vehicle, rearwards, depending on how far away it is from the vehicle and actually from the centre of the rear axle, you may need to get a light board. Light board being, you know, the lights that go either side of a number plate. But, you know, in this country and probably in all countries around the world, you can buy light boards. And sometimes if you're recovered, the recovery mechanic may put a light board on the back of your car if you've got no lights. Because I've put the number plate there, it kind of focuses the eye on the number plate, the number plate being there, and the number plate's not lit up, and it also hasn't obviously got the tail lights on either side of it, but technically it doesn't need it. I'm just saying it attracts the eye to that, which may give rise to you know, a police officer stopping me and maybe questioning the extension on the back of the motorhome, the extension of the box. But we'll soon see. I've put the number plate on there to be completely honest. That if a vehicle, I'm pretty confident. If you're sat in a car, you can see that number plate virtually all the way up to overtaking it. Because, you know, if you're at a certain height, then you can't see that number plate up close. Yeah, there you go. That's that. So, I mean, that's just a quick update. I'm going to go into Tesco now, and then after I go into Tesco... Oh, incidentally, yeah. Oh, hey. So, we got a new gas bottle in here. And, the heating, the heat, I call it the fire. It's a gas fire. And the element heats the metal kind of grate on the front of it. And a metal coil inside. Whoa, how fast are you going? Tesco car park is a racetrack. Oh, it heats it beautifully. Oh, it's wonderful. And it's also got blown air heating inside this vehicle. So you let the coil get to temperature, switch on the fan, and there's a little fan inside that fire, and it blows the air around the ducts. And also, one of the ducts goes into the bathroom in the back, so I noticed. So yeah, that's it's all good. So we're going to try it out. I'm really excited. The children are really excited, and Sarah's, more importantly, Sarah's really excited to go away as well. Anyway, so that's just a quick catch up, and I'll speak to you soon. See ya.
All one word.
All one word.
Out.
One word.
Out.
One word.
Out.
One word.
Out.